long time coming.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's been months in the making, but this morning, German Chancellor Angela Merkel says she is happy with General Motors' decision to sell its European division, Opel. It's chosen the Canadian auto parts company Magna to buy it. Opel employs nearly 50,000 people overseas. The business professor David Bailey at Coventry University in the UK says it's a smart move for the company.
I think this will be seen as GM offloading a European operation, which is seen as problematic and which needs restructuring. So I think from a point of view of how GM is viewed, it will be seen as positive.
The official announcement from GM is expected to happen in just a few minutes in Berlin. Now, let's check. Where's Wall Street? Numbers are down for the S&P, down about 0.5%, and for the Dow about 0.33%, down 34 points at 95.12. The Nasdaq down about 0.1% this morning. European shares down as well, and Asian stocks closed mostly higher today overseas. Companies seem to be handing out fewer pink slips. The government said today first-time claims for unemployment benefits fell last week. Also, the number of people continuing to receive those benefits fell to the lowest level since early April. Let's bring in Doug Foreman, the director of equities at Highmark Capital, joining us live from San Francisco. Hi, Doug.
Good morning, Steve.
So the headlines on this jobless number appear strong. I mean, I'm wondering, though, did Labor Day or the holiday distort any of this?
Yeah, we think it did. I think basically people had one fewer day during the week because of the Labor Day holiday to go in and file their actual claims. So while the number is better on the surface and we're happy about that, it's debatable how meaningful it is.
And one day could make that much of a difference, huh?
Yes, it can, believe it or not.
The government, Doug, said today the U.S. trade deficit increased the most in more than 10 years in the month of July. Now, put that into perspective for us.
Well, exports during the month grew, but imports, the stuff that we bought from overseas markets, grew even faster. And the two main things that grew really quickly there were cash for clunkers, autos. Dealers had to build up some inventory, obviously expecting some sales, which they got because of the cash for clunkers program that the government has. And also the price of oil went up a lot over the course of the month. So that tends to impact the oil that we import from abroad and makes that number go higher. So those were the two big items in the import column.
Just a quick answer. We heard about foreclosures, Doug, dipping slightly from July to August. Are you convinced these loan modifications are finally working?
No. We think maybe the economy is just getting a little bit better, and we're not quite sure that there's been any major change on the loan modification side.
All right. Doug Foreman joining us from San Francisco. Doug, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
This morning, Congress reopens its investigation into how government investigators missed Bernie Madoff's $65 billion Ponzi scheme. The Senate Banking Committee will look at a 500-page report issued last week by the Securities and Exchange Commission.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, sponsor of Retirement Revolution, airing on PBS September 15th at 9 p.m. Eastern. Local listings at pbs.org. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com.
It's almost been a year to the day since Lehman Brothers filed for bankruptcy. The investment bank's demise sent the market into a tailspin, and the nation's financial crisis got even worse. Thousands were left out of work, and one of those people was Dave DeMuro, Lehman's Director of Global Compliance and Regulation. This morning, he tells us how his world changed in his own words.
This time last year, I was at Lehman Brothers, a place that I'd been for about 24 and a half years. It was really a very collegial environment, a place where we worked hard but felt very, very good about what we were doing. And so that added really to the tragedy of the firm's demise. When I got the email that the firm was filing bankruptcy, it's really difficult, kind of difficult to comprehend what that might mean. Certainly by the end of September, I knew that that I would be coming to the end of my tenure. About 30% of the firm was owned by employees. which meant that at the time that the firm went bankrupt, that its employees suffered losses in the billions of dollars. I lost a lot of money, but I think more to the point, a whole lot of people lost a lot of money as a result of what happened in late 2008. I still have my home. I have a job. I still have enough working brain cells that I'm able to make a living, and for that I'm extraordinarily grateful. My purview and compliance director was to make sure that we were operating within the rules laid down by the regulators and by Congress, and I think that we had largely done that. In retrospect, I wish we hadn't gotten as deeply involved in mortgage securitizations. Sure. Do I wish we hadn't had the level of exposure that we did in the commercial real estate market? Of course. But that's easy to say now, isn't it? What do I think should have happened? Obviously, I would have been much happier had Lehman Brothers continued to exist. I was proud to have worked there, proud of the work that we had done. You know, I'm always going to be disappointed about the fact that we weren't able to make it.
Former Lehman Brothers executive Dave DeMuro. Marketplace's Amy Scott produced that story. You can hear more from Inside Lehman inside our website, marketplace.org. And later today, we're going to examine how the financial collapse a year ago changed the way Americans look at risk. That's later on Marketplace with Kai Ryssdal. Finally, a new General Motors ad campaign begins this weekend. Its CEO will take to the TV talking about brands and its new car lineup. Now, wait a second. That sounds a little familiar.
And a wagon so versatile, so right for America today, we can't build enough of them. Not bad for a company that had one foot in the grave.
Oh, yeah. That was Chrysler's Lee Iacocca. Way back in the early 1980s, the company had just come from a near-death experience. Of course, we know Chrysler and GM both filed bankruptcy this year. Now, that's a trip down memory lane no one ever wants to take again. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.